Well, when I hear this gospel, I remember the Bishop Sheen story that he would sometimes tell about the woman who came back from shopping, and she had just bought a $300 dress, and the husband was not too happy about it. He said, "Don't you realize money is very tight? Why didn't you just resist that temptation?" And she said, "Well, when I tried it on, it looked so good." And the husband says, "Well, you're supposed to resist the temptation, and you're supposed to say, 'Get behind me, Satan.'" And the wife said, "I did that." And Satan said, "It looked even better from the back." So why does Jesus tell St. Peter to get behind me, Satan? It's because St. Peter was thinking in too human a way, not as God thinks, he says, but as human beings do. Let's take a look at this gospel from St. Mark. The Lord takes the disciples up to the area of Caesarea Philippi, and he says to his disciples, "Who do the crowd say that I am? Who do the people say that I am?" We have this as the first Gallup poll in history, and we get the results. 33% said that Jesus was John the Baptist, come back from the dead. Another 33% said that he was Elijah, come back from the dead. And another 33% said that he was one of the prophets. Notice the crowd got it wrong. Notice the secular society got it wrong. They did not know who Jesus was. And then the Lord turned to his disciples and said, "Now who do you say that I am?" And everyone was silent until one voice rang out. One voice inspired by the Holy Spirit, it was revealed by the Heavenly Father to St. Peter, the first Pope. And Peter spoke up and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And in Matthew's Gospel, we have the full account of it. And then Jesus would say, "You are right, Peter. This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father revealed this to you. And you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it." So we have here St. Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, made an infallible statement. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's who Jesus is. This is where we find the truth on issues of faith and morals, is from the church, from the official teaching of the church. Well, then, the Lord goes on to reveal that he's going to be killed. He's going to be the suffering servant of Isaiah. He's going to be rejected. And the Lord clearly foresaw everything that was going to happen to him, that he would suffer greatly. He'd be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and he would be put to death. But then he would rise from the dead after 3 days. Well, the disciples, especially St. Peter, did not want to hear that. They did not want to accept that Jesus would go through sufferings. And I'm sure St. Peter was very well-meaning. He probably did this out of love, but he took the Lord aside and said, "God forbid that anything like that should happen to you." What does Jesus do? He immediately turns on St. Peter, because now St. Peter is not speaking inspired by the Holy Spirit with an infallible statement. He's speaking as an individual with all his weaknesses and his foibles. And he says, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter, you're actually speaking the words that Satan would want me to hear. In other words, don't go to Jerusalem. Don't go to the cross. Obviously, Satan would not want Jesus to die on the cross for the salvation of the world. Satan would not want Jesus to open the gates of heaven to redeem the world, to save us from our sins. And so the devil would probably want to do everything he could to keep Jesus from the cross, from redeeming the world. And St. Peter, as good meaning as he was actually on the side of Satan, saying, "Jesus, don't go to Jerusalem. Don't go to your suffering. Don't go to your death." And so the Lord says, "Get behind me, Satan," because he was trying to keep Jesus from the cross, from the sufferings that he was going to endure for our salvation. He says, "You're thinking not as God thinks, but you're thinking in too human a way. You're thinking as human beings think, but rather look at it from the divine perspective. Look at it from the Heavenly Father's perspective. This is why I was born. This is why I came into the world, was to suffer, die, and rise from the dead, to bring about the salvation of the human race. And so we can ask ourselves, when we meditate and reflect upon this, we should put ourselves into the gospel. As St. Ignatius of Loyola said, whenever you read the gospel, put yourself in one of the characters. And of course, we should put ourselves in St. Peter's place so we don't fall into the same trap. We should think, when we ask ourselves about the issues in modern society, the issues in the world on morality and issues of faith, do we think in too human a fashion, or do we try to think as God thinks about these issues and about these teachings? So take a look at some of the issues in modern society. One of them is euthanasia, mercy killing, putting the elderly to death in times of suffering, or now it's even gotten to be called assisted suicide. And this is something that's in our society. And many people in society look at it from a human point of view, and they think, well, let's put the person out of their misery, as if they were a horse or an animal that was injured. But of course, that's not how God looks upon human suffering. God looks upon human suffering as something that can be redemptive and sanctifying, something that we can unite to Christ and to offer up. Obviously, Jesus offered up his sufferings for our salvation, so we unite our sufferings to that of Christ. So when we look at suffering from a divine perspective, we see that it's something that can be united to Christ, it can be sanctifying, it can be redemptive, and can bring many graces for the individual as well as for the church and for the world. Other issues that we have in our society, obviously the sanctity of human life. What is God's teaching about the sanctity of the unborn? That every human life is sacred, every human life is holy, every human life needs to be cared for, loved, and respected. See, that's God's teaching on the sanctity of human life. Whereas the world has a different, sadly, a different perspective on the sanctity of human life. Think of marriage. God's view on marriage is between a man and a woman. Modern society is starting to reject that. But God's teaching is found in divine revelation, sacred scripture, and the teachings of the church. So whether it be the church's teaching on the sanctity of life and the unborn, or the church's teaching on marriage, or the church's teaching on contraception, or euthanasia, or whatever it might be, we want to make sure that we have the mind of God, the mind of Christ, that we don't fall into the trap of the secular hedonistic society and what they say. See, when we look at these issues, do we really see God's perspective on it? Which is revealed to us in sacred scripture, sacred tradition, and the teachings of the church? Or do we fall into the crowd? Do we fall into the trap of thinking in too human a fashion? So when we place ourselves in this gospel, let's make sure that we don't do what St. Peter did. As well-meaning as he was, he tries to keep Jesus from going to the cross. He's looking at it from a too human fashion and not with a divine mind, not with how God looks at things. And then the Lord concludes this by reminding his disciples, if they want to be his follower, they must do three things. They must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. And that's, again, what it means to be a disciple of Christ, to be willing to deny ourselves, to take up our daily crosses, and to follow in the path of Christ.